Take your Bibles this morning, if you have them, and turn with us, if you would, 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. 2 Kings chapter number 4. This passage has slowly become one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. As I have preached several messages on several different topics from this particular passage, 2 Kings chapter 4. And I would direct your attention this morning, while we'll cover multiple verses for our purposes this morning, invite you to look there with me, if you would, at verse number 8. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8. And the Bible says this, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." You notice that phrase there, "where was a great woman." For a few moments this morning, that's what I'd like to preach to us on. And for us to see from God's word this morning is the thought of a great woman. And while this is no doubt a Mother's Day type message, a Mother's Day themed message, what we're going to see, the characteristics we're going to see from this great woman, from this godly woman, this Shunammite woman here in 2 Kings chapter 4, these are characteristics that every Christian should seek to exhibit. These are characteristics that each Christian, as God's people, should seek to have present in our lives. Michael Novak wrote in Harper's Magazine in April of 1976, "We live in curious times. Choosing to have a family used to be routine, but so many, so varied, and so aggressive are anti-family sentiments in our society today that choosing to have a family has become an act of courage. To love family life is to be marked today as a heretic." He wrote that in 1976. He wrote about how there was an attack on the family even back as far as the 70s. And folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, the attack on the family has only gotten more and progressively worse since 1976. We live in a society that is very much anti-family. In fact, not only anti-family, but they are anti-God's way of family. Curious times indeed. You know, did you ever think that we would see the day when there could be two people of the same sex would be permitted to adopt a child? Now, instead of a traditional biblical family of one man and one woman, now kids today, well, now they have two daddies or two mommies or whatever else folks go by today. Extremist leaders in the feminist movement have made mothers feel that they have missed life. In many homes, a child is regarded as an intrusion instead of an inspiration. The lifestyle that prompted the words of an old hymn, "If I could hear my mother pray again in our society today. That's nearly an endangered species. But unfortunately, too many mothers, they find it easier to play golf than to pray with their children. As for some, they find it more exciting to hold a crystal cocktail glass than cuddle a little child. And truly this morning, the words of Proverbs 31 are being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Proverbs 31 and verse 10, the Bible asks this question, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You see, in these curious times, an inspiring example is needed for mothers. An inspiring example is needed for fathers. An inspiring example is needed for our families, for our children. An example of someone with courage and someone with commitment, a pattern with which today's mother and father and family might cut a new lifestyle from the fabric of life. And that's where we find this morning the Shunammite woman of 2 Kings chapter 4. Because she is such an example for us today. Here in 2 Kings chapter 4, we have but a brief vignette of her life. And this brief vignette of her life reveals to us that she was a great woman, but she was also a role model for families today. You say, how was she a role model? Well, number one, we see that she had some focused priorities. She has some focused priorities. See, our priorities show who we are. Our priorities show what is important to us. Jesus himself said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, this morning, our priorities mold our living. And the priorities on which this Shunammite woman focused, those are what made her a great woman. You see, this morning, this Shunammite woman, she had a spiritual perception. She had a spiritual perception. She was a very spiritual and godly lady. The Shunammite woman said of Elisha, you're there in 2 Kings chapter 4. Notice, if you would, verse number 9. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 9, the Bible says, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. You see, she was interested and became involved in the things of God. She took a very keen interest in God and the things of God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see this morning, folks, if we're ever going to have strong homes, if we're ever going to have strong families, then we need to, at a very early stage, make God and the things of God a priority in our lives. We need to make God a priority in our families. We need to make God and the things of God a priority in our homes. You see, stronger homes will never come as long as what we're watching on TV and what we're watching on streaming gets a higher rating than the things of God and God himself. You see, the Shunammite woman's concern for spiritual life is evidenced by her hospitality for the prophet of God. Notice there, verse number 10. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And then you notice, of course, in verse number 8, our text verse that we read, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed the Shunam, where was a great woman. And notice what it says, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. This Shunammite woman was a very hospitable woman. She took care of the prophet of God when he came by for a visit. He was well fed and well cared for because of her spiritual perception. Not only that, but we see not only did she have a spiritual perception, but she had a service to people. She had a service to people. You see, the Shunammite woman was willing to get involved in somebody else's life. She was willing to get involved in helping somebody else. Jesus said in Matthew 6:26-27, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" You see, this morning, our communities, they can have, and they do, many service clubs, and they can do many good things. And oftentimes, our approach is to, you know, write a check. You know, money is always needed, and, you know, we still get in the mail to this day, it's email now, I guess, asking for donations to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, because that's where I had my cancer treatments, and to this day, you know, when we have it, we'll donate there, and my dad, he still donates their money, and so on and so forth. And money is always needed. Don't get me wrong, money is always needed. But oftentimes it can become a cold substitute for compassionate personal involvement. Because sometimes, guess what? We don't necessarily want to get involved with people. And so it's easier to throw money at the situation. It's easier to throw a check at the situation and think, well, all right, we made our difference. But there's just something different about going and interacting with somebody one-on-one and getting to know where somebody is at in life. And, you know, personal service, you know, that always involves a risk, because you never know how somebody's going to react to you. You never know. You know, you go with the best of intentions to be a help and a blessing and an encouragement, and you might not get the welcome you thought you were going to get. And so it's a risk, and oftentimes we don't like to take risks. But I guarantee you, when you are able to be a help and an encouragement and a blessing to somebody, not only are you a blessing to them, but you get a blessing in return. And so we see here this Shunammite woman, she was in service to people. You notice there again, verse 10, let's make a little chamber. So they make this chamber. She feeds him bread. She fed him. She took care of the prophet. But not only that, not only this morning, do we see that she had a spiritual perception and service to people, but she was satisfied with her permission, or with her position, excuse me. She was satisfied with her position. Notice there, if you would, verse number 11 and following. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people." And so we see here Elisha asks this Shunammite woman, well, what can I do for you? What can I do to be a blessing in return? And we notice here she gave no particular request. Now, that doesn't mean this morning she was complacent about life, but she was content. You know, the fact of the matter is, this morning, we as people have so many earthly possessions in our day, don't we? We have so much materialistic possessions, but the question becomes, are we content? Are we contented? 1 Timothy 6:6, the Bible tells us, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, this morning, and you've heard me say it often, but if you were able to wake up this morning That's something to praise God for. If you were able to maybe have a little breakfast, that's something to praise God for. After church this morning, for those that are mothers here and you know you have your kids and whatever the case may be, if you're able to spend time with them, grandkids, grandparents, that's a blessing from God this morning. You're able to go home, maybe have a little lunch, blessing from God. You're able to go home and maybe take that nap and have some fellowship with your pillow. You know, that'll be a wonderful thing too. A blessing from God. And, you know, but we live in a society today that, you know, we need to have the latest and greatest. And even then, we're still not content. And, you know, that goes back even to when we were kids, doesn't it? You know, Christmas morning comes and we get that latest, greatest toy under the Christmas tree. And then what happens by the end of Christmas Day? We're already bored with said new toy. Why? Because we are a society of folks who just aren't contented. We need to just be content. Listen, we come to church, go home, go to work, have some friends, have some hobbies and activities we like. Friday night, Mandy went to the ladies thing with the ladies. And so I was home. We were over here a good part of the day on Friday. And so Friday I go home and I was flipping through the TV. And for once, the Phillies game was actually on TV. And so I put the Phillies game on. And I mean, they hammered the Marlins on Friday night. I think it was like 8-0. And that was a glorious game. And guess what? I was contented because my team was winning. And now you know, a couple months from now, you know, they'll go on a losing streak and I'll be ready to fire the manager. You know why? Because we're discontented people. We forget what they just did for us. You know, they have the best record in baseball right now. But, you know, heaven forbid they lose a couple games. We're ready to fire the whole team. Why? We're not content. But that was a good night. And then yesterday, got some work done for today. And then I missed the Phillies game yesterday. And but I saw that they won again yesterday. So another good day. But, you know, we need to be contented. We need to be a contented people. You see, in a world in need, a lost world without the Savior, will never be reached unless we reach the place where we, like Esau, can say, Genesis 33:9, and Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." You know, at some points we just need to say, you know what? I have enough. I've been blessed. And guess what? You know, if we're honest ourselves this morning, God has blessed us this morning. We are a blessed people. But we see this morning that she had focused priorities. But then secondly, not only that, she had a family partnership. She had a family partnership. You see, the Shunammite woman's greatness is also seen in the way she coped with her family relationships. And doing so, she had a positive attitude. She had a positive attitude. You see, now, if you know anything about the Shunammite woman, you'll know that for many years, this woman suffered the curse of barrenness. She couldn't have kids. And now other women maybe considered her inferior. Most thought she was guilty of some sin. Evidently, though, we can see from this text, she did not become bitter, nor turn inward and feed on her problem. Neither did it become a barrier between her husband and herself. You see, their relationship at first was characterized by communication and cooperation. Notice there, if you would, 2 Kings 4, notice again verse 10. So this is, or let's start there, verse number 9. Verse number 9, 2 Kings chapter 4, "And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive," here's her spiritual perception, "that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." And so we see that this was a husband and wife. They had communication and they had cooperation and they worked together. Listen, if we're ever going to have strong families, we need a husband and wife that will communicate. We need a husband and wife that will work together. And now, listen, this morning, you may have experienced many problems in your life that were not of your own making, just like this Shunammite woman did. But it is in your power to determine how these problems will affect you, because they can become liabilities or assets. And so we see she had a positive attitude. But then, secondly, she had a slight struggle with irresponsibility. And I want us to catch this this morning, because no matter how strong a family is, a family will always have problems of some kind. That's just the cost of life. Not all was as it should be in this home. In later years, when their child became ill, and again, you know the story. Yes, she was barren, but then the Lord blessed her with a child, but then the child becomes ill. But notice what the father says, 2 Kings chapter 4, and notice there, if you would, verse number 19. The Bible says, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. That seems familiar today, doesn't it? You know, something comes up in the family or the home, and you know, instead of the husband dealing with it, instead of the father dealing with it, instead of the man dealing with it, oh, send him to his mother. Send him to the woman. And we look at this, and we look at this question and or this statement by the man, and we have to ask the question, well, does this indicate an attitude on the part of the father that the work in the field was his responsibility while maybe the child was his wife's domain? And, you know, we know today that, yes, some families, they may have a man in the house, but that's all he is, just the man of the house. He's not much of a father. The Bible tells us, Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see, this morning, with only a small percentage of American homes having the husband as the sole provider, there is certainly a need for shared responsibility in every aspect of home life and family care. And then we see that when their child died, the mother prepared to go see Elisha. Notice what the husband asks, verse 23. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? And she said, it shall be well. And again, we have to wonder, well, does this reflect maybe a shallow interest in the things of God? Well, why go to church in the middle of the week? You may have or may have had a spouse with little interest in spiritual concerns and spiritual things. You may have had to carry the spiritual load. But this woman here, this Shunammite woman, did not always have a true partnership. She had to be the one to go the second mile. And that is why this Bible calls this woman a great woman. And then thirdly this morning, and finally, we see that she had faith's persuasion. We see that she had faith's persuasion. The most significant element of the Shunammite woman's inspiring life was her faith. And we notice here a tremendous declaration of faith that she made. Again, her only child. She had been barren until God blessed her with a child. And now this only child is dead at home. And notice what she says in verse 26. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? It is well with thy husband. Is it well with the child? And notice what she says. And she answered, it is well. This woman was great because of her faith. You see, this morning, faith is what gives stability in the storm. Faith is what supplies the foundation on which to rebuild when things have fallen apart. Faith believes it, as Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, they called according to His purpose. Faith believes, as Proverbs 31 and verse 30 tells us, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Listen, this morning, there are a lot of things you can be praised for. You can be praised for your pastries, for your poise, for your political persuasiveness. You can be praised for your maybe your pretty face, but can you be praised for your faith? There's an account in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus, He was dealing with the centurion. And He tells the centurion that He has not seen such great faith. No, not in all of Israel. Could it be said of us this morning that we have a great faith? Will God praise you at the last day? Matthew 25:21, the Bible says, His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This morning, can you join with Paul? As he said in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This Shunammite woman had a faith that was sustaining her in her storm. My question for us this morning is simply, is it well with your life today? Do you have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are your priorities pleasing to God? Are you living by faith, serving others, and responsibly fulfilling your Christian calling, both in your home and your community? Again, this passage was about a Shunammite woman and the principles that mothers can put into their life. But this is something that all Christians can put into their life. Because these are crucial areas to be made well in Christ. Are you able to be said of this morning, there's a great man, there's a great woman, there's a great Christian because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.